The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is our gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. You may be seated. There are a whole lot of things about our current cultural celebrations of Christmas that we get wrong if we're really trying to celebrate the actual reason for the season. Of course, we always point to the commercialism of Christmas, how that's been taken over. Or we focus on Santa and the trees and the elves. Or we look to the harried pace that we keep during this season instead of slowing down and enjoying the peace that's come into this world in Jesus Christ. Another thing that I've always thought odd is that as Christmas has evolved, it's become associated with let it snow and sleigh bells ringing. That's a beautiful scene and a beautiful dream, of course, and it's why Bing Crosby sang about it. Did you know that there wasn't really such a thing as white Christmas until 1947? I mean, obviously there were white Christmases. Obviously it snowed on Christmas in years before 1947. But the concept of a white Christmas wasn't around until Bing Crosby sang about it in the 1947 movie Holiday Inn. Pretty amazing, right? Then he did it again in 1952 in the actual movie White Christmas. But that idealized Christmas has always kind of been, even if we didn't have that word for it. But most of us don't actually even experience a white Christmas. The National Meteorological, is that how you would say that? Society said this year, before Christmas, that there was about a 20% chance that people in the United States would experience a white Christmas. And they overestimated a little bit because it ended up only being 16% of our country that experienced a white Christmas, which is defined as at least 1 inch of snow on the ground on Christmas morning. And that doesn't even take into account the 10 to 12% of people who live in this world that live in the Southern Hemisphere. Christmas in the Southern Hemisphere happens during the summer. There's no chance of a white Christmas there. But it's not entirely out of the question that those in the actual place of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem could possibly experience a white Christmas. Because in Bethlehem, that city averages about 3 days of snowfall every single year, and one of those days generally falls during the month of December. But these are all the things that tend to get us off track during the season of Christmas. And you can see how easily they can get us off track, right? Despite the many ways that we tend to focus on the wrong things during this season, there is one thing that we do tend to get right, even if we don't always celebrate it with the proper celebration of the holiday. The giving and the receiving of gifts perhaps originated with St. Nicholas, the 4th century bishop of Myra. And it's said that St. Nicholas was a generous man, one who loved to give gifts, especially to children and to families, a tradition that was then imitated by those who would mark the anniversary of his death, which happened on December 6th, which is why even today we still continue to celebrate St. Nicholas Day on December 6th. The story of how St. Nicholas became our modern-day Santa Claus is a little bit more convoluted than all of that, but it's safe to say that there is a connection between the two. And in all of the Christmas movies that we've seen throughout this season, and there have been many of them, one of the most common scenes is people sitting around the tree on Christmas morning, opening up all of their gifts. And one of the most precious images of this season of Christmas, at least our version of it, is that child who's holding the gift that they've just received and so cherishing it. Here's where the 2,000-year-old account and our own contemporary traditions can begin to seamlessly meld together. On that night of our dear Savior's birth, Mary held the most precious of gifts in her arms, wrapped up in swaddling clothes. On Christmas mornings, we hold gifts in our arms that were once wrapped in beautiful Christmas wrapping. But given by God, no gift ever given or received will ever match the gift of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem. Our gifts to one another are always going to pale in comparison to this gift. And yet they are a reminder to us even today that we too are able to hold the gifts of God. Which then finally, I know you were waiting for it, gets us to the connection with today's lesson from Luke chapter 2. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. How blessed were Simeon and Anna. They had the privilege of seeing the infant Christ with their own eyes. Simeon, and maybe even Anna as well, even had the joy of holding him in their arms. What an experience that would have been to hold God in your arms. Better than any gift that's ever been wrapped and placed under a Christmas tree was the gift that was laid in a manger and who then was presented in the temple. We can lament the fact that we weren't there for either of those two events, but that doesn't mean that we're any less recipients of the greatest gift that's ever been given. Because God places his redeeming word into our hearts through our ears and our eyes and our arms. Humanity was created to receive the word of God into our ears, through our ears, and then into our hearts. God's word was primary and the central focus as it came from heaven in the creation of the world. You remember those words, and God said, that's the word of God speaking into the world in creation. But our trust in the gift of God's word, or maybe perhaps our lack thereof, is what so often leads us into sin and separation from God. The very first sin, as it were, is the result of this lack of trust in the word of God. Remember this? Did God really say? It's what continues to ail each and every one of us today, as we far too often question the validity of God's word and then turn against it. When we put greater trust in the words of the world than in the word of God, we're left with this post-Christmas letdown that happens every single year at this time. It's easy to ask, after the mostly empty celebrations around the birth of our Savior are done, is that really all there is? Is it really over? When we fail to hear and to heed the word, what we're left holding is our weak and our fallen nature. But God didn't send his Son, the Word, into the world for just that fleeting moment. He didn't do it just so that we could behold that beautiful picture of Mary holding Jesus with the angels and the shepherds and the wise men gathered all around. Of course, we love that picture, and it's a beautiful picture, but there's so many more that have been made possible because that one came first. The picture of Christ as the obedient Son, sharing the love of God with everyone. The picture of Him calling His children to Himself. The picture of the Good Shepherd, of Jesus holding the sheep, His lambs in His arms. Forgiving sins, healing, feeding, leading. And most importantly, the pictures of Him hanging on the cross as He bore the weight of the entire world, of our sin, and then rising from the dead to proclaim victory over that sin for you and for me. And it's not just our ears that hear the word and our eyes that see the pictures of what our Savior has done for us. All of our senses serve to facilitate the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word in Holy Scripture and in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. As newborns, we actually feel the work of God in the waters of holy baptism as that renewing flood pours over us. Even today, we're going to hold in our hands and in our mouths the body and blood of our Savior. But do we spend enough time in our lives acknowledging the gift that we've been given, that we are privileged to behold with our eyes and with our ears, that we can hold in our hands and in our mouths and in our hearts? Too often we fail to recognize and to appreciate the gift that we've been given. Not Simeon and Anna, though. They're remembered in part because they were able to recognize the true identity of the Promised One when so many in Israel chose to reject Him. Which is how we'll be remembered on that last day also. We'll be remembered by how well we were able to recognize the true identity of the Promised One. The baby of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, born and laid in the manger, lived, died, and rose for all of us. How well we're able to recognize Him as opposed to so many around us who choose to reject Him. As privileged as Simeon and Anna were, they got to hold Jesus for one day. We have Him with us always. So may we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, always recognize Jesus in our midst. May our eyes and our ears always be open to hearing and seeing Him and His work among us. May our hands be eager and ready to receive Him. And may our mouths be ever praising His glorious name, as was the response of Anna. As the gospel reminds us, coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And in these days of the Christmas season, and well beyond it also, may we continue to focus on the right celebration of the birth of our Savior. A celebration that focuses on the gift that He is to us and which we are privileged to hold in our ears, in our eyes, our hands, and in our hearts. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.